The Accidental Duchess, written and read by the Duchess of Rutland. For Roma and John Watkins, my darling Mum and Dad. Everything must change for everything to remain the same. Giuseppe Tomasi di Lampedusa, The Leopard. Prologue. March 2001. We were woken that night, not by the storm itself, but by the children running into our bedroom. "Mummy, Daddy, water's coming in," they chorused in more or less unison. It was around 2 in the morning and I'd been soundly asleep. "The castle is flooding. You've got to get up." Helped by anxious hands and faces, I forced myself awake, got out of bed and fumbled my way into my slippers. We'd only properly moved into this vast, multi-roomed, multi-tiered extravaganza on a hill a few weeks earlier. I hadn't wanted to. I had been very happy in our marital home, which I'd transformed from an unloved Regency house on the Beaver Estate into a version of the farmhouse where I myself had been brought up and where my parents still lived. My childhood home, called, without a trace of irony, Heartsease, was in a hidden valley in the mythical border country known as the Welsh Marshes. A magical place of muscular hills and gentle valleys that was as different as could be imagined to the flat landscape that surrounded Beaver Castle. The original castle was built by the Normans shortly after the conquest. The name means beautiful view in French, and the locals, who no doubt took a dim view of this un-English name, pronounced it Beaver, which is how it has been known ever since. Even though the first castle has long gone, the far-reaching views remain. We'd just finished decorating the drawing room and our private quarters, the part that the public don't see and which is much bigger than it sounds. The roof had been the first thing that we'd checked out. So, shocked, mixed with disbelief, I turned to my husband, bleary-eyed beside me. "You stay and keep an eye on the girls," I said. "I'll go and take a look." Our three daughters, then aged 8, 6 and 4, had been woken by the storm, and I could tell that they were frightened. The castle still felt strange to them. They knew it was somewhere we would go on Sundays to have lunch with their grandparents. They certainly didn't think of it as home. And as I followed them through the series of long, ill-lit corridors, I got a clear sense of why they found it so intimidating. The moonlight cast flickering shadows through the tall windows, and even as an adult, it was easy to imagine there were ghouls and ghosts lurking behind the long velvet curtains. The girls had left the drawing room door open, and I stood on the threshold and peered into the gloom without switching on the light in case the electricity was affected. And while I could see that the room wasn't flooded in the Noah's Ark sense, you didn't need Wellington boots to cross the floor, water was nonetheless cascading down the newly painted walls. My heart sank. And then it struck me. Above this room was the library, which itself had been recently decorated by my mother-in-law, Frances, now the Dowager Duchess of Rutland. But it wasn't only the new wallpaper, it was the books, thousands and thousands of them, most extremely old, extremely rare, and irreplaceable. I knew that